Om Shri Sai Ram. Sorry for the delay, dear listeners. There was a slight lag by the time I logged in. Let me begin by offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This is Karuna and I'm signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. And on behalf of the entire Radio Sai team, I wish you a holy, happy and healthy Diwali today. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you, as the name suggests, live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanti Nilayam. Till a few moments ago, you were listening to this morning's Vedam and Bhajans as they were being chanted all in real time in the Sai Kulwan Thal. At the outset, I wish to thank all our listeners for staying with Morning Glory even when I was away. And for me, I feel so fortunate to resume work on this auspicious Diwali day after several weeks of being away. It's 9:42 a.m. on Thursday morning, October the 23rd, 2014, in Prashanti Nilayam today. And you are, of course, listening to our Asia stream. Just moments ago, the morning Mangal Aarti concluded in the Sai Kulwan Thal, and the devotees are right now lined up very quietly for the darshan of the holy Sannidhi. The ashram atmosphere is still reverberating with the sacred energy of the Vedam and the Bhajans, sung so melodiously by Bhagwan's students. Actually, it's a small group of dedicated singers and musicians who are all Sai University alumni and who have chosen to dedicate their lives to the Sai mission. They work in the ashram and its allied institutions, and they are unflinching in their dedication to render soul-edifying bhajans every single morning, Monday through Saturday. That is because at that time, the school and college students are busy attending their classes. The Sunday bhajans, as well as the evening bhajans, are generally handled by the current student population of the ashram. By the way, it's a beautiful day here in Prashanti, with very pleasant weather conditions. It's almost nippy here at night times. And if you're using a fan at night and leave your windows open, it's nice to have a little cover like a blanket on. That's because our overnight temperatures are dipping to about 20 degrees Celsius. That would be about mid-60s in Fahrenheit. And daytime highs are also quite pleasant, around 30 degrees Celsius or about mid-80s for our American listeners in Fahrenheit. The breeze is very pleasant, the skies are blue, and as I always say, life is as good as it can get in our slice of heaven called Prashanti Nilayam. That takes me to my next question for all our listeners, and I hope you're paying full attention. So, dear brothers and sisters, have you made your plans to come home to the lotus feet, the sacred land of Sri Satya Sai Avatar next month? The divine birthday is around the corner, so when are you coming home? On behalf of Team Radio Sai, I would like to gently remind, actually I've had a change of heart, so let me remind you strongly and firmly that your countdown has begun. So please go ahead and book your tickets, take time off, do whatever you need to do, and come home pronto to the seat of all things true, auspicious and beautiful. Recently, a devotee was telling me how he feels the energy seep into his being as soon as he sets his foot on the holy land of the ashram, where every grain of sand and soil is saturated with Bhagwan's divine energy. And the recurring feedback we get from devotees is this heightened energy in the Sai Kulwan Thal, which helps us to focus and meditate and tune in very easily these days. So why wait another moment? Just get on with it and come home for Diwali, come home for Akhanda Bhajan, come home for the divine birthday celebrations at this epicenter of spiritual celebrations. It is said that each session of Vedam and Bhajans that we attend in the Sai Kulwan Thal earns us the merit equal to performing 108 Ashwamedha Yagnas. And I'm sure performing one Ashwamedha Yagna is very difficult, leave alone 108 of them. But attending one beautiful session of Vedam and Bhajans in the Sai Kulwan Thal is definitely a spiritually pleasant and blissful experience, don't you think? So I hope I have given you enough reasons to start planning your trip to Mama Sai's lotus feet to receive her divine blessings, her grace, and the deep peace within. With that, dear brothers and sisters, I'm very pleased to announce the menu I'm serving on Morning Glory today. makes me very, very, very happy to inform you that we have for you an exciting feature presentation in the form of an in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview. These are our series of conversations with Baba's students, and today's episode is with one of my very young colleagues, and I'm very sure that everyone who ever listens to Radio Sai or has been to Prashanti has heard this young man's voice before. Under the spotlight today is Brother Arvind Sai of Radio Sai. Rhymes beautifully, doesn't it? Arvind Sai of Radio Sai, son of Sri Satya Sai. What a blessed soul Arvind is. Dear listeners, I promise you that you will be enthralled by his experiences and the many songs that I requested him to hum throughout this interview. Arvind Sai is a shy talker, but he makes up amply by his innocent love for God incarnate and the sincerity with which he pursued him to become his singer. His tapas, his penance to be where he is today, comes through loud and clear in the compelling stories that Arvind Sai shares in this lovely interview that I thoroughly enjoyed recording. I hope you will love it as much. Here then is part one of my multiple part interview with Radio Sai's very own Arvind Sai, right after this short message.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to another in-house episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Our series of conversation with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. Our guest today is Brother Sripati Arvind Sai, a very talented member of Team Radio Sai. Brother Arvind Sai is an alumnus of the Sai University, where he studied from the years 2004 to 2011. And during these 7 years, he completed his BA honors, majoring in economics, his master's in economics, and his MBA finance. Brother Arvind Sai hails from Hyderabad and comes from a family of singers and music lovers. I guess that explains the creativity and talent running in his blood. Even though many of you may not recognize our Arvind Sai by face, I'm pretty sure almost all Radio Sai listeners would have heard his voice, as he's one of the finest bhajan singers in the mandir and has had infinite opportunities to please Bhagwan with his musical offerings. Arvind Sai is also one of the famous and fortunate Burakatha boys from the group of three who have performed Burakathas much to Bhagwan's divine pleasure many, many times. Arvind Sai also teams up with Radio Sai's Brother Bishu and Brother Anirudh on the Bhajan Tutor team. His current duties at Radio Sai include coordinating the cataloging, transcription and translation of Bhagwan Baba's divine discourses under the guidance of several elders. That aside, every morning Arvind Sai sings his heart out to the Lord in the Sai Kulwant Hall and is the favorite singer of many, including truly yours. Sairam Brother Arvind, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memory.
Sairam Karuna Aunty.
How are you?
I'm good.
You look very relaxed to be here. I can see that.
I feel it's a great privilege to be again, you know, to be part of this program, FMLM. And especially, I thank Swami for giving this wonderful opportunity. And he chose you as an instrument in doing so. So hope so the whole show goes on good and well.
Well, let's just surrender to Swami, and as we have already prayed to him to think and speak to both of us, I think he'll do a good enough job.
Yes.
I'm actually quite excited because I'm really looking forward to hearing about your experiences. I know I've caught some of them in bits and snatches from you when we converse casually. But I think along with the listeners, I too am looking forward to your journey. So let's begin with the circumstances under which you joined Bhagwan's College to do your BA honors in economics.
Yeah.
That was, I believe, in the year 2004.
Yeah. All through my childhood, my father was a devotee from 1968.
Wow, so much before your birth.
Yeah, 20 years prior to that. So, he was always involved in Sai activities and all the major world conferences he has attended.
And he's a very good singer himself.
Yeah, father is a very good singer. So, it was a routine in our family that, you know, we used to go for Nagar Sangeetan and Bhajan. Every day we used to have in our samiti, day in and day out.
And
I remember.
This was which samiti in Hyderabad?
It is Sarun Nagar Samiti in Hyderabad. It's a zone by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the age of 3, actually, father used to wake me up and used to take me for Nagar Sangeetan. I was very small and used to pick my hand and used to take me along. My brother was 6 then, actually.
Early morning.
And my mother used to get wild with him. You know, they are such small, tender kids. Father used to tell, you know, even if they cry today, that's fine, but tomorrow they'll understand the value of what true spirituality is all about. Then father used to tell us also that, you know, anything with respect to God, you should even, you know, I remember so many days we didn't even go to school. Just because there is some Sai activity. I used to remember, like, all Indians, you know, any major festival, we buy clothes. I remember for Ishwarama Day and for Swami's birthday, my parents used to buy clothes for both of us, new clothes. So that is the kind of, you know, background from which we come. So it was everything Swami's activity, anything under Swami's name is a joy for all of us. So father has put in our head, like, you know, in 1990, I'll just tell you a preface for the whole thing.
Please do.
In 2011, he showed me a letter. After Swami's Mahasamadhi, when I went back home for a few days of vacation, he just showed me a letter. That letter he had written in 1990 to Swami, saying that, you know, your university is like a huge tree and all the students are like small branches and leaves. If my two kids also could get a chance to be close to you, Swami, I think that should be a life dream achievement for him. That's what he had written.
And how old were you and Sai Krishna, your brother Sai Krishna, in 1990?
My brother was 6, I was 3.
Oh!
So
little.
And my father actually tried to give that letter many a times to Swami, but it didn't come up. You know, the chance wasn't there. So he couldn't give the letter and he forgot about it. After Swami's Mahasamadhi, he is actually shuffling all his diaries and everything. Suddenly he showed this letter. True to every word of that letter, everything came true. Everything came true. So, that's when I realized, even the similar kind of incident happened in my life too, I'll narrate it. But that's when I realized, my father always used to tell, frankly my father is like my role model, I can say, because always I used to tell myself, even if the day if I leave my body, if I can become something like my father, I think that's a big achievement for me. Because whatever we are today, it's totally because of my parents and their dedication to Swami. It's nothing we have got to do with it. So from childhood, father's dream is that we both have to study in Swami's school. That is a dream. And the dream came true for my brother in 1999. He joined in 11th standard. So after brother joined, I also dreamt, okay, after my 10th, I'll join in 11th standard. That is there. I didn't see any other thing I didn't see in my life. The next immediate thing in my life is to join in Swami school and be happy and make my parents happy. But that didn't happen in 2002. I applied for 11th standard. It didn't happen. I was totally shattered. I remember I did 72 pradakshinas. I was doing pradakshinas. Suddenly my father came up and told, you didn't get seat today. Today result came and so I abruptly stopped the thing and I collapsed there itself. I cried very badly because I didn't even imagine what's my next step. what course. I didn't imagine that I'm going to study again in the same worldly life in Hyderabad. So it was a big experience for me. And after that, I remember
you were
father
doing Ganapati Pradakshinas
in the mandir here, main Ganesha. And father took me, Swami was then in Vrindavan. He took me to Vrindavan. He said, until unless you forget about the whole thing, you stop crying. Swami is always with you. Until unless you keep all these things in mind, I don't take you to Vrindavan. After going to Vrindavan, I remembered that, you know, anything you want to offer it to God, you should not stop in between. You don't have any right towards, you know, there are many things in life which you wanted to be in certain way. But they may not be the way, because Swami has a different plan for you.
And always a better one.
Yeah, best one.
Which you realize only later.
Exactly. Which you always realize later. So what I did is, I just seek pardon from this Ganesha, but I covered up next 36 in the Vrindavan college Ganesha.
Achha.
But Ganesha is one deity where I always used to, you know, feel very comfortable to converse with. So this is when I first opportunity I lost here. And then the next year after my 11th standard, again I applied for 11th standard, but then also I didn't get the seat.
You were willing to repeat a year just to get in.
And the next year, it is after my 12th standard, the circumstances were very difficult, in the sense that I was mentally prepared that this time I'm going to get it, or I was even ready to give up my life if I don't get
it. So bad, huh?
Really. I have written letter saying that, you know, if this doesn't come through, then this is the step. That's it. A drastic step
in my life.
You wrote
to Swami?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And one to Swami, one to my father. I wrote it. And then...
why did you want it so badly, Arvind?
It is because, see, I always used to feel that, you know, the true essence of, you know, all that samiti, bhajans you do, service activities you do, it is not really to get close to Swami's physical presence, but there is something which is always pulling towards Puttaparthi, saying that this is your destination. This is your destination. So always I used to tell myself, even if Swami doesn't speak to me, today people may think Arvind Sai has got so many photographs, so many videos, so much of close quarters interaction with Swami physically. So he is in Puttaparthi working for Radio Sai. That may not be true, because my brother and I have decided to stay back in Puttaparthi way long back. If we reach this destination, this is the destination. I never knew there'll be job opportunities here, after studies what. After I joined in hostel, I understood there is a career, you know, 5 to 7 years you study, after that you go out for a job like any other. I never knew that. I was thinking, once you come here, you are settled here. That's what I used to think. But I have seen the other part of the thing. And then, in my 12th standard, I applied for BCom honors. It's a very interesting story here. I gave a subject combination as commerce, accounts and economics as my subject combination. I got the call letter saying that you have to prepare for commerce, accounts and statistics. Now, statistics is a new subject for me. But then, that's the final verdict. So, I started preparing. I went to my sister's home. My brother-in-law is a maths teacher in my school itself. So, he gave some problems to me and said, by the time I come back from school, you be ready with all these problems solved. And now there is a 2-year-old kid of my sister who was playing with me. I said, you just sit for some time, I'll solve these problems. Father gave me and went. He's a just 2-year-old kid. That day morning, incidentally in my home, I kept my specs on the cooler. It just fell down. So specs were broken. I didn't have specs. He just called out me. He called out to me and said, Mama, just look at me. He just called out to me. I looked at him. He threw a pen at me. Ink pen. It went into my eyes. And there is a bulge in my eye. It became red and there is a pus formed. One thing is, like my father is a very strict man actually. You know, if you are anything careless in your life, so he gets very badly upset. So I didn't want to show my face to my father. Usually at 4 o'clock in the evening, I go for playing. I just went to play cricket and I could make out that ball I'm not able to see. That went on for almost 45 minutes. I sat in the ground itself. I know my mother would be coming from office at 6 o'clock. This happened around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Till 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't even reveal it to anybody, the whole thing. My sister knows it, but the seriousness of it, even I didn't know. After my mother came and narrated, she said, just go to doctor immediately and get it checked up. After I went there, they said, call your parents. You're almost on a verge of losing your eye. So my father called up some of the beauty of the whole Sai organization is people get connected so fast, you know. Even relatives will not be able to come to your rescue at that point in time.
And we can depend on each other so much.
So much. Yeah. So much for anything, actually.
Yeah. Sai family is really tight.
So, my father called up one of the uncles and said, this is what happened, can you suggest something? The doctor whom they suggested is in other part of the city, almost 40 kilometers. So, the doctor was telling immediately next 1 hour that he has to get operated. Otherwise, whatever little hope is there also, it will be vanished. So, uncle told there is one doctor which is 3 kilometers away who comes for medical camps in our mandir. Just go there. Now, this gentleman is from Africa, set up his thing in Hyderabad and does free cataract operations for the poor people. Now, he has seen the whole case. He said, he took literally an agreement from my father saying that if he loses his eye, then we are not responsible, but we are taking a chance. Tomorrow morning, once he opened the eye, if he is able to see, then he got it. Otherwise, forget.
So he was going to perform surgery on you?
Yes.
I see.
And that night,
Emergency surgery.
He called up few doctors, and that night they have done around 8:30. They started until 9:30. It went on. I could actually make out that pus which is going from my eye. After whole thing got over. He said, you can go back now home. Tomorrow morning, you come back to my clinic. I'll open the eye and see whether it is. So, next day morning, I reached the clinic and he opened. And I could see nothing, actually. It was pitch dark. That's all I can say. The whole thing, all through the thing which is going on in my mind is, now if I lose my eye, even if I get back my eye, I won't be able to study that well, how I am supposed to study for getting a seat in Swami's College. This is my 12th standard, I told her it. So, I was worried because only 1 month is there for the exam here. And even after preparation, I couldn't get in 11th standard. Without preparation, how will I get seat in my degree? So, this was going on. All through the days, this was going on. And this happened on April 16th. I was praying Swami very badly that, you know, if we don't give seat, then I don't want this eye, I don't want this body only, I just want to leave, that's it. However, I have written a letter for you. On April 23rd, there came one more call letter for me. From the same university, same application number. It says that, ignore the first call letter. That the subject combination of commerce, account, statistics, you ignore it. Prepare for the second combination, that is commerce, economics and civics. So statistics has got to do a lot with, you know, practice. Now this economics and civics is more to do with reading. So this was a blessing in disguise. So father used to sit beside my bed and used to read the civics to me, economics to me, subjects. And I used to listen to it. So finally, the eye didn't come back, and I came here.
So you had only sight in one eye when
only
you came.
Only one eye, and I.
Which one was damaged?
Right eye.
Oh God.
Right eye. So I came here, and I should not actually reveal to any of the administrators here that I don't have an eye, because
okay.
That's outrightly they'll dismiss
Turn you
my
down. Yeah, disqualify.
Yeah.
Right.
So I came here. With a actually showing everybody that, you know, I was looking normal. After I came here, there was one more shock to me. I went to the school. The examination was conducted in the school then. I went to the school and there is a final list they prepare before you get into the entrance hall. In that, whatever subject combination they give, that is a subject combination you have to stick to. Now there, instead of CEC, it is written MEC, Maths, Economics and Commerce.
Oh God.
So this Maths, Economics and Commerce is what I have done in my 12th standard actually.
But you had prepared for civics.
Yes. Uh-huh. I must admit that I am very poor at mathematics. So I was like literally shocked. Even after I have done 12th standard, I was like, oh my God, so you have decided that you are not going to give seat to me this year. So I just showed them. They said, no sir, these two qualities you ignore. This is the thing you have to stick to. I went.
So much for the accuracy of the admin department. They're changing your subject 3 times.
Oh my God, I was like, I should take in as a blessing because we have done 12th standard just 1 month back. So at least something will be retaining in my mind, mathematics.
But not your strongest subject.
Yeah. So my weakness is actually exposed. So I went inside the hall. Literally, I remember every single thing in mathematics. I put ABCD, just thinking Sairam.
Just multiple choice, you said.
Yeah, 40 multiple choice. So I was convinced that I am not going to get seat. Next
so what
day,
was the formula you followed? Om Shri Sai Ram?
Yeah, that's all. Sai Ram and whatever comes to B. Okay, put it. Sai Ram again D. Like that I followed. Literally. And then next day morning at early morning at 3 o'clock. My father has a habit of getting up at 3 o'clock. So he went to the college. If they have pasted the letters, the results. So he went there and I was very much tense. Literally I didn't sleep the whole night. Father came back and he said, I have seen the result. You have got a seat in BA Economics, not in BCom Honors. Okay. And he said, today afternoon at around 4 o'clock, you have got the interview. I went to the interview room with the administrators were there, all the teachers, principal. They asked me only one question. Why so less marks in mathematics? Then I showed the two call letters saying that this is what happened. Literally, I have to prepare for 7 subjects instead of 3. Mm-hmm. Then they said, okay, it's a mistake from administration. Whatever subject you're willing, you can take it. You can choose. So I said, I'm happy. I told I want BCom Honors. Everything was over. Just about to come out, one of the senior members, faculty, they said that he cannot take BCom because he didn't write accounts examination. Then I finally said, whatever you give, I will take it. This is what I told them. After 15 days or so, my brother got into MBA at the same time. I got BA. I came home and I said, who the hell in the whole world will do BA economics at this 21st century?
Why? What did you think it was?
No,
a cool
because
subject?
BA, in Hyderabad, every neighbor and every
does
colleague.
IT.
Yeah, IT. You should be somewhere relating to BTech engineering or MBBS or you have to at least do BCom. This is like BA is what?
Only losers do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I told my parents, I'll apply next year. I'll sit the whole year and prepare properly for BCom. They said, no. My brother said, no, don't worry. BA also is good, all that he told. Then finally, okay, I told, okay, let me get in. He said, first 2 weeks you'll be there. If you like the course, otherwise you'll join, you disqualify yourself. You come back again.
How was your eye in all this?
It was only one eye. It was only one eye. And here also, only after my 3rd year I came to know one beautiful thing. I joined the hostel and they have a health checkup. And there is a health card which is attached to your profile which will be given to you at the end of the, you know, course. After 3 years of your course. Now that was not done to me actually. That I don't know how they skipped or I skipped, I don't know. All of my classmates got done. I came to know only after my 3rd year.
That you don't have a medical profile.
Yeah, if they would have done that day medical checkup, outrightly they would have actually in the medical checkup they were told you are disqualified. But somehow I don't know how I missed, I don't know how they missed, I don't know. It didn't happen. So at the end of 3rd year they asked your health card for PG post graduation. I said I didn't do. So literally my classmates said, what you're telling, what you didn't do, we all did it on the first day. I said I don't know man, I was there with you all, but it didn't happen. So again, they made some procedure and, you know, they pushed me into post-graduation. and about my IE.
So you've joined.
I have joined.
BA honors.
Yeah,
BA honors economics, the not so cool course that you got into.
Yes. With the subject which I thought is the least preferred in the whole world.
Especially in Hyderabad crowd.
I tell you, the only motivation which my brother always used to tell, who is Vishwanath Pandit sir, I don't know. He always used to tell, there is one Pandit sir, Vishwanath Pandit, who is a world famous economist. He is going to teach you. So after BA, have MA economics. After MA economics, you get good job. All that. So he was like fascinating. Yeah, fascinating stories he was telling me.
About Professor Pandit.
Yeah. Mm. So I thought, okay, there is somebody to look up to. And there is some course where after I come back also, I can tell my friends, guys, I'm doing actually great course, you know, under a great person. So that motivated me. But all through I was telling myself, no, this 1 year I'll do BA economics. Next year I'll apply again for BCom. Go back to Vrindavan. This was going on, and I remember every day when Swami used to come in golf car. That time I used to come from Purnachandra in golf car. I used to close one of my left eye and used to try to see from right eye. But everything used to be pitch dark. There was a time where 18 continuous days Swami has taken letter. From I used to have 3 letters every day. Same content used to be there, 3 letters.
But why 3? You wrote morning, afternoon and night?
No.
Night?
One I used to sit in the back when Swami used to come. From there I used to jump again to the birthday boys where they sit. First line. And from there, if I go inside Bhajan Hall, if Swami calls me, I still have one more.
So what did you write in these letters, these 3 letters daily?
This, only one thing I used to write in that whole thing is like, Swami, I want to see your beautiful form with my 2 eyes. So grant me one more eye, only to see your form, not for anything else. This is the only content which I wrote for 18 days. And for 18 continuous days, he looked at me, he smiled at me, he took, he never spoke a word. This continued. On August 14th, two of my brothers, you know, have done Harikatha. So I just thought of venturing into, you know, putting the mics for them. But then I thought, you know, my vision was so weird. Suddenly two objects I could see. So that's when I realized, no, I cannot go in front of Swami suddenly if I muff it up. But that day I remember, while Swami was going back, when I was putting my eye, left eye closed, I could see a little bit of Swami's orange robe going back
into the bad eye.
Yeah, it was
going.
Yeah. And the next day, August 15th, there was a drama in Mandir. Again, when I saw, it was clear for me. Swami is coming in the golf car is clear for me, which was always dark with my eye. It was clear for me. So that's when I realized, oh my God, I got back my vision. So I went to Super Hospital. And I showed them. They said, yes, your vision is almost, it is almost close to this left eye. Then they asked me, how did this happen? I said, no, there are some drops he gave me. He said, but the vision is gone. But this is what I used to do every day, write a letter to Swami to grant me the second vision. And I used to every day close my left eye, see with right eye. It came back. And after that, what happened? There were some sutures inside. They removed them in the Super Hospital, saying that you are all now actually. If I see, both eyes are perfect. There is no other surgery which is done, nothing. So I went back after 1 year to the same doctor. He was literally like stunned. Actually, literally he was like in tears, saying that, you know, Swami has done something to you. It is otherwise it's quite impossible to get back your eye again to the same as your left eye. So this is the first miracle in my life where I personally experienced. After I joined, as I was telling you that, you know, many times, as we discussed earlier, that, you know, many things we feel that this is perfect for me, but what God designs, that would be the perfect gesture for you. This I realized in my first year itself in October. There was one sir, our Burakatha teacher. Here comes the Burakatha story actually. He came and he was, actually 2 people are selected. I told 2 of the brothers did Harikatha. So this is Prabhakar and Raghuram. They got selected already. Now the third guy has to be chosen. They have already chosen one guy and they are practicing the story and everything is going on. suddenly they realize this guy's voice is little, you know, it is more of a orator voice. It's not a vocal singing voice.
Mm-hmm. And a traditional Murukatha, which is a traditional style of storytelling, involves three people.
Yeah.
A person who sings.
The person who sings, it is called Kathakudu.
Huh.
A person who narrates is called Rajakiyam.
Mm-hmm.
And a person who does a lot of comedy is called Hasyam.
Okay.
So my role in the whole...
Joker also.
So, my role is a joker role there.
Okay.
So, in October, this sir came and they selected one guy and it was going on. After a week, my friend Prabhakar came to me and said, I never sang in front of anybody. Childhood, I used to sing bhajans, but we never got trained with harmonium, nothing like that. So, Shruti catching in a harmonium is a difficult thing for me. By then, my brother was a singer in Mandir. He practiced a lot actually for 5 years in Vrindavan, 2 years here, 3 years there. Finally, he became a singer and he was singing in Mandir. Now, to get on to that level is a literally like an impossible task for me actually. So I told Prabhakar that, you know, you are thinking I am a singer because my brother is a singer. Actually, even in bathroom also, I can't make any justice, you know. But he said, no, this much whatever you are singing, that is enough for us. That is what we require. Because main singing is done by me, you both are supporting characters. The other guy whom we chose actually is not able to sing a little bit also, so this is fine for us. You come for the audition. When I went for the audition, the sir who is sitting there, he has come to our samiti, our Murukatha teacher. He has given a speech in my 9th standard. When I was 9th standard, he had given a speech in my mandir. I have heard so many speeches by then from childhood, because you go to activities regularly, so many speakers came. But this person's narration, I liked it the most. And I was always thinking, who is this person who came? I should meet him once more in my life. I was always thinking. And here comes, he is my Murukatha teacher. I must mention here, our Murukatha teacher name is Sri M. Krishna Bhaskar Garu. He hails from Hyderabad, BHEL. And his experiences are umpteen with Swami. For 10 years in Puttaparthi, he has performed my role as a Hasika in the Murukatha. For 10 years, they have performed from 64 to almost like 72, 74, they have performed. So this sir was there and he was asking me, can you sing something? Then I said, sir, first let me say what I have about you. This is what happened as you have come to our samiti and all that. Then I said, my father always used to sing Swami's poems. So I remember one poem, I'll sing that poem for the audition. He said, sing. After that whole thing, he told warden, this guy is okay. So let us start with these three boys. Murukatha. So I remember it's a very small, you know, in a few days back I was hearing a first Murukatha, 2004. Like three small kids, just they are knowing who is Swami, what Swami does, all that. So in his very tiny couplets they are put into, very easy to pronounce, all that. So that this is how I got into the Murukatha team. And after 1 month of rigorous practice, we went to Mandir to perform. The whole thing happened in September, sir came. I'm sorry. September, sir came. And in October, one full month, you know, literally towards 20-25 days, we practiced. And then we put on costume in Mandir. Swami didn't look at us and that the normal bhajans over. Again after 2 days, again we came with the costume. Again Swami didn't look at us, it went on. This happened for 4 times like that. And one night we went, three of us went to warden and said, sir, I think there is some mistake among one of the three. So each one wants to quit. Sir, I don't want to be part of Murukatha. Because Murukatha itself is, art itself is very good, but some mistake between three of us, due to which program is not happening in front of Swami. Here I want to mention about the role played by all the teachers in the hostel. You know, their experience comes into picture. The way the warden consoled us, saying that, you know, this happens with Swami until unless he wants you to look at the minutest things in your life. you correct them, then he will give the best. Then he asked us, are you going to Suprabhatam regularly? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you answerable to everything what you do perfectly? Everything. So at that point in time, you are so serious about life, you know. If Swami has designed something for you, you want to stick to it. So if Swami gets pleased with it, you get a chance in front of Swami. So literally we have followed everything in hostel life, dot to dot, three of us. On November 8th, again we put on costume and went, and that day the program happened. Finally it happened. And after the program, Swami blessed us very nicely, profusely. For 20-25 minutes he spoke, he gave clothes to all the instrumentalists and to all of us, he gave photographs.
And what did he say to you guys?
The first time he asked from where three of us have come from, and then he asked our names, and then he said, you have performed only 15 minutes program. They said, Swami, it's 45 minute program. And Swami said, I felt it's only 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Nice compliment.
Yeah. And then Swami spoke to each of the instrumentalists. It's more kind of, you know, physical interaction, knowing about from where we came, what we did, how long we practiced, like that. Swami said, I'm very happy, it is very happy, all that. Then he asked the main singer to sing one more song for him. He sang. Swami was going back inside. He said, remove your headgears. They should tie with saris. He said, it will be painful for you because it was, Swami said, heat also will get into your head. Just go and remove, he said. And then he was going towards the interview room. So we were just about to go and change our costume. Swami called for us, called for an interview, three of us. Literally, we were shivering actually. That is our first year in the college and, you know, first UG boys. It's like a big shock for everybody. Swami called them for interview. When we went for interview, Swami was holding three beautiful watches and he gave us. The first thing we want to say, Swami, is an apology, which we forgot even to tell when he was conversing with us outside. Apology for forgetting one song, which is on Ishwaramma and her three boons, which she asked from Swami.
Oh, you forgot one part of your performance?
That's a big song actually, 3 minutes song.
Okay, you were so nervous?
I think the list goes like 24 songs continuously. So the main singer forgot, so we didn't know how to, that's the first Purakatha, right? So we didn't, each of us are worried about their own portions, what we have to do. So in that whole thing we forgot, and then after Swami spoke, just about, we are about to remove our costume, then we realized, oh my God, we forgot this song, how can we tell Swami again, apology like that. Swami said, okay, sing. So three of us sang that song. After end of the song,
this is inside the interview room.
Interview. End of the song, it's like you please Swami, please fulfill the wishes of Mother Ishwaramma, like that.
Sing and tell, if you don't mind.
It starts like Mother Ishwaramma asking, okay? Vidya kosamani uri pillalu sai, tirugu chuntiri enno ullu sai, talladillura talli dandrulu sai, ఉన్న ఊరిని విడిచారే కన్నవారిని మడిచారే బలానంటివై తమ్ముడా మేలు బలానోయ్ తాదాన ప్రాణము తీసే మనుషులు పెరిగెను తందాన తందానే తందన ప్రాణము పోసే దేవుడు నీవని తందాన తందానే తందన లైక్ దట్ ఇట్ గోస్ ఇట్స్ ఈచ్ స్టాన్జా ఇస్ అబౌట్ one portion of song. What is her wish? First stanza talks about the education. Second stanza talks about the healthcare. Third stanza talks about the water project.
Mm.
And at the end, you know, we'll tell Swami, fulfill Swami, fulfill Swami, like that. At the end of Swami heard the whole thing and Swami said, Avanni eppudo chesan sir. I fulfilled those wishes long back, sir, like that. He said, then he told, do you know that I invested almost around 600 crores only in Chennai pipeline, water project, only for pipeline it costed 600 crores. Then we said, Swami, please give us an opportunity to be part of that whole mission. And Swami said, when the right time comes, I'll give. Now it's the time to study, so you study well. when the right time comes, I'll give you an opportunity to do all this. And then we said, Swami, please Swami, we always want to think about you. There should not be any thought. The same question we asked outside also. Swami, always we want to think about you. We always want to be with you. Swami said here one important statement. Outside also it said the same thing. Inside interview also it said the same thing. He said, you may not be always with me, but I will be always with you. That's a very standout point, which I always keep in my mind, that, you know, you always might not be with me, but I always be with you. After that interview, this is the first...
Suddenly you must have become the star of the hostel, Swami, who's giving so much attention to you three.
Yeah, actually, after, in middle of the interview, I just asked Swami, Swami, can I sing in front of you? Then Swami asked, what do you mean? Are you not singing in front of me? I said, no, Swami, this is the first time I sang in front of you today.
Yeah, you were not a bhajan singer at that time.
Then Swami said, then I asked Swami, how did you like my voice? Is it good? Is it good, Swami? I asked. He said, yes, it is good. Then I said, Swami, can I sing in bhajans? Swami said, yes, sing in bhajans. Swami, when can I sing, Swami? Like, I remember, I just want that innocence back again in my day-to-day life, actually. They tell, no, childish behavior is not good. Childlike behavior always you should carry in a life. That is one thing I always tell myself, you know, it should be there in your life all through. Because that innocence with Swami, it continued. I don't think so now, if Swami is there with me, I'll be able to converse with him like that. So that purity was there then, I think so. So then I like a small kid again, I asked Swami, when do you want me to sing? Swami said, today. Today means, Swami, today after this interview, you want me to sing? Swami said, yes, today after interview, you go, change your costume, come and sit in bhajan hall. In first line, I'll hear to your bhajan, take harati and go.
Whoa, it's a very clear cut. Lucky boy.
It's a clear cut instruction.
And you were persistent to get exact details.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, after you go outside.
Yeah, nobody's going to believe you.
Yeah. So, we changed costume, went there. Exactly how I imagined. They asked, did Swami really tell you to sing? Because nobody knows Sai Krishna's brother is a singer. So many of them don't know Sai Krishna as a brother, first of all. So Sai Prabhakar has told, sir, Swami has clearly instructed him to sing today.
Uh-huh.
And sir asked, what is the bhajan you want to sing? I said, I'll sing any bhajan which is Swami's bhajan. Then I said, okay, Govinda Hare Gopala Hare, hey Gopi Gopabala. And he said, what is the Shruti? I asked him, what is Shruti? It was like such a pathetic situation of mine, actually. Then he said, Shruti, actually, you know, harmonium will give. After that only...
You have to match your voice.
After we give the Shruti only, you're supposed to start. Then somebody said, okay, you, when they give Shruti, we'll give a hum from behind. You start. Swami came, Swami looked at both of us, smiled. Fifth bhajan was Prabhakar, sixth bhajan was mine. I sang. Swami smiled very nicely, and then he blessed, he went. And next day, like as you said, in hostel, you know, oh my God, these guys got something, you know, oh, such great angels and all that. So we were also literally like not in a mood to talk to anybody, actually. Anybody. We were like literally in seventh world. And next day again, went to Mandir. While going to Mandir, I met this bhajan in charge. Before even he could say that you have to improve your voice, something prompted me saying that, you know, it is a chance given by Swami to sing in front of him. That doesn't mean that I don't practice. I felt, okay, out of my innocence or ignorance, I asked Swami and Swami agreed to it graciously. And I got a chance to sing in first year itself. It's a very big thing because I didn't know the protocol that you have to practice, you have to show the bhajan in charge. Bhajan in charge will tell you, okay, now you can sit with a letter to Swami and Swami should call, Swami should approve. That is the protocol. Now I missed all this and directly jumped onto the, our Swami. So even before he could say, I said, sir, I think I need to practice a lot. Until unless I practice well and come to a stand of Mandir, I don't think so I would like to sing until and as Swami tells again. He said, yeah, you need to practice a lot. You know, there are so many things you need to know about music, about your voice, culturing, everything. And one beautiful thing about Swami is like, one thing I learned is like, focusing. You know, when a certain thing is happening, you have to focus on that thing. On the day of Burakatha, the way he focused, literally it looked like he came for us. He took a form in the, he has taken incarnation only for three of us. But the next day seemed to be busy. You know, like, but when the time is given, he gives you so diligently and profusely blesses you that you'll remember for lifetimes to come. That is one thing I learned, because next day he didn't speak, next day, like that one full year he didn't speak. But the way he has given that whole blessing, you will remember every memory of it and he'll continue your life.
And he makes you think that you're the center of his world.
Really?
You're all that matters.
Really?
Mm.
Because that is what we learn, because many of the things what we talk in we give in talks, or otherwise we tell to another person when we share our thoughts. Many of these things I don't think the Swami has given you directly. Even to what is sacrifice, what it is to mean to be like a person with compassion. These things, for every individual, I don't think the Swami has spared so much time physically. But being part of the organization and being part of the culture, automatically it percolates in you. Suddenly you will think, am I like this actually? Or something happened to me? Something always keep transforming in you. Just by, that's why Swami tells, my darshanam is papanashanam, my sparshanam is sankatanashanam. So when he tells, actually everything has got a deeper meaning actually. When we see him, automatically there is some kind of a peace which percolates in our body.
And many subtle changes, he said, happen inside us which we don't realize at that time.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean that, you know, always Swami has to call for an interview. Always Swami has to call for a ask you to give talk or anything like that.
But the transformation is silently happening.
It will be happening automatically, because after 5 or 10 years, now today if I see myself after 2010 years have passed, what I was then and what I am today, it just gives me goosebumps, saying that, you know, how much Swami has done to me. So this is, after this Burakatha, I never regretted, you know, why did I join in BA Economics? I never regretted for it. And I never wanted to apply for BCom again. Because that's when I realized, if at all I would have been in Vrindavan, surely for my kind of a mentality to have darshan every day of Swami, it is not possible. It is not possible, because Vrindavan boys will be staying in Vrindavan and Swami goes only in summer. And I don't think so, that kind of a separation maybe I would not have taken, or I would have left Vrindavan Ashram and gone off to Hyderabad once again. So he knows the best. That's when I understood actually. He knows the best what to give you every day to have a darshan for you, and that I coming back for me and joining this Burakatha group, getting an interview with Swami, getting a chance to sing in Mandir. So there are beautiful things which have happened. And also, when I joined hostel, I always had one wish, like, you know, I need to have one photograph with Swami. Only one photograph with Swami, and put it in my home. I have seen one movie. In that movie, it's like the hero presses the button. The curtain comes down, heroine's face comes.
Okay.
And when he closes, it becomes a normal curtain.
Okay.
So I always wanted one photograph with Swami. I also put a button, Swami and me. And when it closes, I can see the nature. Okay. So my Swami and me, like
yes.
That.
Nice.
Due to, that was motivation for me to join band, Institute Brass Band. So, because I heard from everybody that every convocation, every birthday, they are sure to get a photograph with Swami, that group. So I thought, okay, my God, at least one is there. Individually, if I don't get it, at least with a group I'll get. That was the motivation for me to join. And the band also, actually many of the things in Swami's way of, you know, designing the whole hostel, teaches you so many things. Integrated awareness, so many things he teaches you. So in band also, I've learned tremendous amount of lessons about punctuality, discipline, and what it means to be focused again. Because in band, one thing I learned is like, whole hostel will be studying all through the year. In the sense, they'll have more or less time, but we need to practice every day from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in night. Come what may, tomorrow exam is there also, you have to practice. That is the discipline with which we are working for the chance in front of Swami. So when you actually sacrifice something, you know how to adjust time. So time management, you know, because you are losing time here, you have to adjust, you have to get up early in the morning, you have to do this. After all, you're doing all this for Swami's, a smile on Swami's face, or you know, to please him.
And the coveted photograph.
Yeah.
What did you play in the band?
I used to play the cymbals. Actually, that also, I wanted only cymbals. I was telling myself, you know, cymbal is one instrument where, literally it's like a symbol of the band. Only that sound comes out. So I was like, why... Among, you know, they'll say in Telugu, Gumpulo Govinda. When some group is going on, with them also you join. Why some 5-6 baritones and, you know, 6-7 trumpets, you one among them, why can't you stand out? So I wanted only...
Chansa,
yeah,
the
when it comes,
makes,
it should yeah. make you, like, okay,
take
Swami,
notes.
This is for you, like
yes.
that. So I never expressed it to any of the band guys, but... Finally, they thought, this guy is a very good, having beat sense. So, this guy should be given the symbol. So, that is also a blessing. You know, everything is falling in place. It's like that. So, one more thing I want to mention here is, like, during the first semester, I was very reluctant towards studies. Saying that, you know, next year, however, I'm going to go back to Vrindavan. So what's the point in putting a lot of energy into studies and, you know, waste time all the... So I didn't study that good. So I got A grade, 4.14 out of 5.
Without studying?
Yeah, not much, you know, just you just casually you do everything.
That's pretty good.
So the one thing, one day I went to Mandir and one brother whom I know is working for accommodation from a long time. He just met me and asked me, what is your grade? I said 4.14. He said, do you know Swami loves people getting O grade? And Swami suddenly may give attention also to them. So that again motivated me. Oh my God, Swami loves that. Why shouldn't I do that? So I remember that letter still. I wrote to Swami. Swami, that you know, this semester I got this much, but next semester I'll put effort, but you also should have that. You also should help me out in that. So that I also get O grade, and after all, I'm doing all this to make you happy. To tell somebody that my student got O grade, again, it's for you. Credit is for you, not for me, like that. So, I wrote that letter, I tried to give that letter to Swami. My opinion was, if Swami takes the letter, I'll get O grade, like that. Swami didn't take that letter. So I forgot about it. And then second semester came and I studied hard, but the question paper showed me bonkers. So I was seeing literally star. I told, forget about the O grade, I should pass today. This paper I should pass. But I tell you, on the result day, it came 4.64 out of 5. So I got 5. I got O grade. It was a literally like a big jump from A to O, if somebody does, hostel also really recognizes it, you know, college also, teachers will appreciate it and all that. So, that is also one thing, as that letter I have seen only after my results came, you know, when I was packing everything, that's when I have written, Swami, please help me out. So, silently, he does everything for you.
Even if he doesn't take the letter physically, Swami
yeah.
knows what you have written.
This is what I was trying to... Like, initially, I told my father had this.
Yes.
After
you have
after
a family history of letters written but not delivered, but they were read already, all the same.
Yeah, because many of the times, Swami tells that even if you have a thought, it would have reached me.
Yes.
The letter which you are jotting down in a paper and giving it to me is a chance for you. It's an opportunity for you to physically interact with me or get an opportunity of a photograph or anything like that. But actually the thought already reached me. So that slowly, you know, you'll learn all these things. But this is one great lesson I learned again, that, you know, Swami always listens to you. And that's what, there is a famous Satya Sai is a silent listener in every conversation and is a silent
unseen guest at every meal and the head of this family.
Exactly.
Yes.
So many of these quotations of Swami, literally when they come in life to you in a true form, you will be really, you know, humbled with that experience, you know.
So Arvind, now you're an O-grade student, you've done Buddha Katha, you've got Swami's permission to sing in the mandir, and you were keen to learn singing formally because you were just a good singer without any training, any knowledge of how to match your voice, how to sing to key. So how did you catapult to being one of the finest singers in the mandir? What was that like?
Every year we perform one Buddha Katha. In 2004 we performed Buddha Katha on Swami. 2005, the same Buddha Katha we extended a little bit. Swami wanted us to perform on Shivaratri Day. And next year we performed on Shirdi Baba. Subsequent year we performed on Ishwaramma. And like that it went on. During these days, you know, only on the Buddha Katha day I used to get a chance to sing. This first time I sang, I told you, November 8, 2004. My second bhajan I sang in Mandir is in 2007, November 9th. It's like 3 years of, you know, every year I used to go, every winter, every summer I stayed back. And every summer and every winter, I stayed back only to get a chance to sing in front of Swami.
So you wouldn't go home to get the opportunity to sing?
No, no, no. I never, my brother also didn't go, I also didn't go actually.
You didn't miss home food, mom and dad?
No, actually what used to happen is, it's a beautiful thing. My father always used to tell that, you know, even if you want to come, only once I expressed, I want to come. But my father said, even after you complete your education, you have to be with us. There is no big deal, like, you know, even if you want a chance to be like a student and get a chance in front of Swami, even if you wish for, you will not be able to get. So what is the point in losing, you know, mom and dad, you know, every time? We are there always for you. You have been with us all 15 years, 17 years. Now be with Swami as much chance as possible. You grab it. You take it. You experience His darshan every day. Don't come home. That's what He told us. And that we never also regretted, you know, oh my God, I'm going to miss my home, my mom food. We never regretted. It went on smoothly. All these 7 years, it went on smoothly. Except for one, whenever Swami went to Kodai, and if he has, if we are not part of the tour, then we used to go home and we used to come back exactly the day Swami comes back. So that's how it used to be. So this was going on in 2000, every year, every summer and winter, I used to go to this bhajan in charge and show my voice improvement. He used to say, no, you need to improve again this pronunciation, that pronunciation, like that. And he said, you know, there is some pronunciation problem and all. So I went to a dentist and she said there is some alignment problem in the teeth due to which some of the words you are not able to pronounce well. Then I made an appointment with a dentist in Bangalore and I put on braces. And that helped really a lot. And then in 2007... Till 2007, the music teacher said, no, you need to practice. Still the standard has not come, all that. So I was practicing diligently morning. I used to get up at 4:30 in the morning and I used to practice the bass practice singing. One of the senior brothers showed me how to practice, what is wrong with my voice, how to get it cultured, all that.
But didn't you feel disappointed when they said no to you year after year?
I used to get depressed, not disappointed.
Oh.
I used to get depressed because
But then you remain motivated to continue practice. How?
Because that alone actually kept me going actually.
I see.
You know, if he is not giving, then I cannot pounce on the mic saying that, you know, I am going to sing it. It's not going to happen that way. Swami has given you a chance, now you have to prove yourself that you are worthy of that chance. So I need to practice. I took it, most of the times I took it in a way, Swami never has so much time to come and directly tell you every small point. You know, so He appoints few of the people in your life. So they come and teach you. You have to understand that, you know, they are for you, for your betterment. So you take it forward. So I have taken in that way. Certain times I really wanted to offer to Swami a bhajan or something, which is not possible. So this went on even in 2007 winter holidays. I remember I asked him, so I said, see, I really appreciate your effort, but still it is not enough. you need to come up to this level, because he has a very good, you know, Swami has appointed him as a bhajan in charge, not for any small reason, because if every singer has gone through this, like the chiseling, everybody has gone through, even a famous, whom we think the famous singer Ashwath Narayan has gone through this phase. You know, sir told him also practice. You know, we understand the greatness of practice only when we totally surrender ourselves to offer one song. It is not a joke in front of Swami to sing a bhajan. That's what I realized. So out of your devotional love, he has granted you that day. Now it's up to you to really maintain it and come up to his level. Because it's a solo singing previously, now it's a dual singing. So in a solo singing, all the singers are like stalwarts. Everybody top 5-6 bhajan. Suddenly 7th bhajan, Prashant in him, what is this bhajan? It's headquarters. So they have to maintain that standard. It's not for the individual sake, true, for institution sake. So this went on, and on 2007 November 9th, a global Akhanda Bhajan was going on in the evening at 4 o'clock. 6 o'clock it's going to come to a closure. 4 o'clock Swami came to bhajan hall and called up one of the senior bhajan singers and said, hey, every day in the whole year you people sing, at least give some chance new singers. Now sir looked that side, this side. He found only me as the one new fellow. So he said, okay, next bhajan you sing. So that's how again Swami intervened in my life. The second bhajan again, because of Swami, I got a chance to sing. And this went on in 2008.
Arvind, may I ask what bhajan it was? Do you remember what you sang?
Yeah, I sang this Nanda Nandana Hari Govinda Gopala Ghanashyama Mana Mohana Ghanashyama Mana Mohana. So this is the bhajan, then my second bhajan I sang.
It went well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it went on well. And there was no complaints, you know, because many a times what happens if a new singer comes, they look at very critically, so that to get him onto one standard.
Yeah.
But that day, I think nobody has told anything to me. That went on well. And subsequently, there was a time where bhajan group used to have a timetable. So every month, I used to get one bhajan. So that is the rate at which we used to get.
Oh. So it was so, you had to work, make sure that one bhajan a month was really good.
One bhajan on the day, you have to be present also.
Yeah.
Everything should be fine. Physically, mentally, you are fully fine. And there should not be any program that particular day in Mandir. If there is a program, then the program people takes off the chance. That day your chance is gone.
So then you wait another month to get your chance.
Yeah, literally it was like that. So literally today, if I sing any bhajan, I'll really know the value of it, you know. It is only, I felt, only because I have gone through that phase of practicing and he delaying it, denying it, I know the value of it today. If straight away from first duty onwards, every day if I sing all 4th, 5th bhajan, I don't think so, I would have valued bhajan so much. It would have been a part and parcel of my life. I don't think the Swami wanted me to take it that way. He wanted me to take bhajan as a special thing in my life, wherein you remember everything you have gone through to get a chance. Now today, now don't take it right. Take it forward. That's what I have taken from that.
So after Swami gave you the second chance to sing, then subsequently you suddenly became an active bhajan singer?
Yeah, it went on, and normally as per timetable, we used to get bhajans and it went on.
But then after, there was a period when Swami was all the time interacting with you,
yeah,
enjoying your music.
Yeah, that I'll come to now. I told listeners that, you know, every year we have performed one Burakatha. This is in 2008. I don't know what happened. We didn't perform any Burakatha. 2008 is incidentally our final year, MA Economics. So next year, we don't know if we are going to get an MBA seat or who is going to be where. So this was going on in my mind, and March 19th, 2009, that is exams are going on. And that night, I just sat in the hostel dining hall just before sleeping, and I cried profusely, saying that, Swami, every year you are given a chance. Now this is our final year. Are you not going to give a chance to us to perform Burakatha, because I think, Swami, always I got a chance to get close to you only because of that. If I have a photograph today, it's only because of that. So if at all I have a recognition saying that Arvind Sai, is only because of that Burakatha. So, Swami, I don't want anything but that one Padnamaskar last you have to give. After that, we don't know where we are going to and slept. And that night, Swami came in dream. It's a very long dream. He came and he was coming in darshan. He came onto the dais. I was holding a letter. He called me onto the dais. And he said, "Em Samacharam, what is the news?" I said, "Swami, nothing. Swami, I want to do a Burakatha." Next thing I asked is, "Swami, why do you speak to people, same people? Why do you speak always to same people? Why can't you speak for all with all of us?" Means, then I told Swami, "See, 10 students you take, 10 seconds each every day. 10 students, 10 seconds each every day. If you take 100 seconds, you are going to spend only 100 seconds per day, but you can cover all three campuses, Swami, not only our two. Primary school also you can complete, Vrindavan, Anantapur." I'll
then you did the math and gave it to him, huh?
Exactly, Swami. Next dialogue in the dream, he was saying, "Statistics, Apu." He told, "Don't give me statistics." Swami said, "What is your problem? You tell me." Then I said, "Swami, see, we all come from different parts of the world and the country and stay in this hostel and work towards so many projects, you know, everything, only to make you happy and see a smile on your face and get an opportunity. But Swami, I told, this year we didn't perform Burakatha. Every year we perform, Swami." Swami said, "That is not my problem, that is your problem. You didn't know how to manage time." Then I said, "Swami, all the assignments, projects you are telling are also offered to you. So that is also your work only, it's not my work." Then Swami said, "No, no, no. You didn't manage time, due to which you couldn't do Burakatha last year." Then I said, "Swami, please, Swami, give one opportunity." Swami asked, "What is the story?" There was no story ready by then, actually. I said, "Swami, I don't know." "Okay." Swami asked, "How much time?" "Swami, I don't know." "What you are going to do?" "Swami, I don't know, but I want to do something." But I remember 2 days prior to that, this dream, our sir has given one script, which is going, even if you read normally, with a convenient speed, it's runs to almost 2.5 hours. Now the 2.5 hour story, you have to cut it to 45 minutes in front of Swami. So that, while going through the script with my main singer, there was one beautiful poem which we came across about Mother Ishwarama. So we both sat with harmonium and he was composing. Only 2 lines were composed by the time this dream came. So my partner also is sitting in the darshan there only. I called him on the dress. He came. I said, "Prabhakar, please." I told Swami, "Total 18 songs are there. Every song I remember in the dream we have told Swami. Every song." He was not so pleased, not so interested. He was looking that side, this side. When this Mother Ishwarama's poem came, he suddenly, you know, very alert he became, and you know, he was enthusiastic. After these 2 lines, Swami told, "When are you performing the story?" Then I asked Swami, "Swami, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you agree before itself? Is it because you want to give an opportunity to me? Or is it because you want to show to the humanity that you love your mother so much and we all have to be in the same lines?" Then Swami said, "No, no, no." Continuing, after that, Swami, I asked, "Swami, can we perform Burakatha on April 3rd? This dream came on March 19th. April 3rd. I told Swami, "That is Ram Navami day, so we'll perform." Swami said, "April 3rd, I'm very busy because Orissa people are coming.
This is all going on in your dream.
In dream. Orissa people are coming, so I have to give them keys for their flood heat areas. I have constructed new houses. I have to give them keys." So I said, "Swami, April 4th, because I remember in the dream also, April 6th, the Mudangamga is going off. So I want to finish up the program before April 6th. Otherwise, we are in, you know.
You'll be short of a musician."
Yeah. So April 4th, when I asked, Swami said, "April 4th, I am going to Hyderabad, so I'll not have time for you." I said, "Swami, April 4th, please give a, you know, chance. After we take your last paan namaskar, you can take a flight and go. That's what I told him. He was like, okay, April 4th your program will happen. Only certain things are taken into consideration and you follow them diligently. Some conditions. He said, the first person who is sitting in the Sai Kulwantal and the person whoever can hear anywhere should get the same amount of satisfaction. If that happens, keeping that in mind, if you practice and if you can follow that, then that day it will happen. And the second thing he told is, every time any group or students, all of you perform, you worry about costumes, you worry about dialogues, you worry about music, you worry about sets and all these things. How many people are worried about devotees? This is the second question he posed. And then he said, your burakda should not be like that. It should be heart to heart. Heart to heart. It should be heart to heart. And any devotee should be able to understand. Now, that was a difficult thing. A foreigner will sit, a Russian will sit. How will he understand burakda? So this is what he told. And he told, it will happen on April 4th. If taken into... So next day morning I got up. I told these guys. Guys, Swami told like this. They were like, man, our exams are going on. We don't have a story at hand. None of these songs are tuned. And you're telling April 4th is going to happen? Because if it happens on April 4th, it's like history for us. Because every burakata we practice almost for one and a half month. There's only 15 days with exams. I said, no problem, man. Just we'll try our level best. Swami will take care. We practiced every day, every alternate day we used to have exam. The day exam used to get over, that night we used to sit 9 to 10. Behind indoor stadium and we used to practice. We used to make tunes. By March 31st, we booked ticket for sir and sir came down from Hyderabad. He just looked at three of us. He said, this is not going to happen. The way you three of you prepared and you are having imagining so much about the program to happen. And April 3rd, I took little courage. We made a card, small card and went to Mandir. To my shock, I seen, as Swami told in dream, Orissa people have come from flood hit areas from Orissa and Swami had given them 700 keys.
Exactly as he had told you in your dream.
And that was a Ram Navami day and it happened.
Hmm.
And that day evening, Swami didn't look at the card. It just went on and Swami was not coming for darshan those days in the mornings. April 4th is what Swami has told. April 4th morning we went to Mandir. To our surprise, Swami has come to Mandir that day. He looked at three of us, he saw the card, and then Swami has come onto the dais and he called three of us. He has seen the card. Yeah, he wasn't saying too much and towards the burakata. And we just told whatever we have in that story to Swami. Swami heard it patiently and then we sat back. There is no confirmation from Swami that, and that day morning only we came to know that Shivaraj Patil, Home Minister, was coming to Mandir. So we were thinking maybe the chances are very less for us to get a chance to perform. We went back to hostel at 11:30. We got a call saying that Swami wanted some three boys had showed card today in Mandir. Swami wanted those three boys to perform Burakata. And I'll tell you that day it was like a eye-opener for me. That is the first dream in my life which I remember till date. There are only very few dreams in my life which all have come true. There are three dreams, all three have come true. This is the first one among them. And that day evening Burakata happened as he has mentioned, and that's a turning point for us. Every next day from that day, he has asked where the three boys are, and he made us sit in one line. He has taken us to Kodaikanal, and from there the saga continued.
Very beautiful, Arvind. I can't imagine a young person having such dedication and so much focus. The way you work towards getting yourself admitted here, the way you diligently perform literally penance to get yourself into the bhajan singing group, and the effort you put into becoming a Burakatha boy, when we see later on, as we are going to hear from you, the wonderful opportunities you had, most people only know of the good times you have had with Bhagwan. Very few knew of the journey that you actually undertook to get here. It's been such an eye-opener. Perhaps we can pause this part here and continue with the rest as we go on after this.
Yeah.
Om Sai Ram, dear listeners, and thank you for staying with us on Morning Glory, coming to you as a part of Thursday Live. The time in the ashram right now is 1 minute past 11 a.m., I beg your pardon, Indian Standard Time. And today is the 23rd of October 2014, and you're tuned to the sacred vibe of Prashanthi Nilayam. You just heard part one of a multiple-part in-house Fleeting Moments interview with Radio Sai's Arvind Sai, the darling son of Sri Satya Sai. I hope you enjoyed it enough to tune in next week, same place, same time, to catch the next part. Meanwhile, we look forward to your feedback by emails at listener@radiosai.org. And now, dear brothers and sisters, it's time to get ready for a live question and answer session with Radio Sai's Dr. G. Venkatraman. This is a must-listen-to program, and I say so without a clue of what he's going to speak, because I don't know the topic. Seriously, I do not know. But what I do know for sure is that it will be soaked in some practical everyday gyan sourced from Sai teachings and will fit your situation in life like a lambskin glove. So you don't want to miss it. It'll be up next after this prayer song. Till we meet next Thursday on Morning Glory, I wish you a awesome day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.